The time has come, the walrus said, to talk of many things. Hello. Welcome to Exposing the Masters Within, the one and only hour on radio or the internet dedicated solely to helping you expose yourself. My name is John Schulte. I'm here to serve you, to help you to know more of the truth about you. It's often said, looks can be deceiving. And we all know that the surface of things is, by definition, shallow. So thanks for joining me today as we journey through the looking glass to explore what's on the other side, to explore what's beneath the surface. We're here together to discover, uncover, and recover our masters within. You knew your mastery much more fully when you signed up for your on-earth sojourn. But you mostly forgot it soon after leaving the cozy confines of your mother's womb. You've rediscovered some inkling of it, or you wouldn't be listening to me now. So, it's time to remember the masters we are. It's time to reclaim the power we have. It's time for Exposing the Masters Within. Let's get started.
Welcome, everyone. It is Sunday, June 10th, 2012, if you're listening live, and some other time if you're listening to the recordings. So I will try not to push the mute button again. We're going to have a special guest here today, and she should be on soon. I just called her, which is why I muted the phone, because we couldn't get her right away when Doug tried to do that. So hopefully this time it should go through. She was there when I called. So anyway, let's get those connections up so we can make sure to get her in here and get everybody what's going to serve here today. So to start with, as always, let's go within and open up the connection to our own mastery, to our own divinity, to who we are in our power, and just let that out. So breathe into that, wherever you might connect with that for yourself, within your heart, within your solar plexus, wherever you can allow yourself to bring this energy through most easily. Wonderful. Maybe I should have done that before I called. All right. And on to connecting down into our Mother Earth. And allow yourself to open up to that connection as fully as you're able at this moment, whatever that means for you, through the feet, through the root chakra, through your whole body, whatever works. Opening up to receive her love and support. And as usual, connecting and giving back to her as well, giving her your gratitude, giving her your love, giving her your willingness to support her. And we go and allow that to flow, allow ourselves to give, and it opens up so we can receive more. Allow ourselves to receive and feel that sense of support, and it allows us to give more. So just take that in, breathe that in. And we go on now to open up to the energies of all of our guides and angels. And allow yourself, again, to open to receive that support, that love, that energy. From them, and open to give them your love and gratitude. Give your energy of support back to them as well. And just breathe that in and feel that energy cycling in whatever way works best for you, again, in whatever connection works best for you, through the heart, through the third eye, the solar plexus. Whatever works for you, allow yourself to open that connection. And we take this out, expand it out once more. And we connect with the Exposing the Masters Within community. All of those who are co-creating with us here today, all of those who will co-create as they connect in through the recording, and opening up to feel that shared energy, that shared intention of moving into our power, of moving into expressing our mastery, of discovering it, of knowing who we really are and allowing it to come forth. And not just allowing it, but consciously choosing to bring it forth, consciously choosing to bring forth our mastery. And as we connect with others who are like-minded, and the way I like to think of it, like-hearted, other like-hearted individuals, like-intentioned individuals, we can feel that wave of support of that shared intention. And so that's what we're opening into here. And that's what we're giving back in return, sharing our intention, sharing our support, even as we receive that support from the rest of the community. And one last step. Let's open up into that larger connection with all the light workers on the planet, wherever they are, whatever language they speak, whether they will ever have any conscious awareness of us or not in this lifetime, in this body. Everyone who is walking this path as a light worker, seeking empowerment for themselves and for others, seeking empowerment for the world at large, seeking healing, we are all sharing that intention. And as such, we can ride that wave. We can ride that wave of shared intention. And so open up to allow that energy to flow into you and to flow through you. And once more, as we receive that, that energy of support, that energy of shared intention, offer your support out as well. And it doesn't have to come from your person. This is not taking anything from you. This is coming from the divine level of you, that first connection that we made. So open wide. There's no loss, nothing drained from you to open into this sharing. All right, wonderful. Well, thank you, as always, for sharing that process with me of opening up the energies for the program today, for the connection. And it is my great honor to introduce the guest that we have here today. Jewel Wilkins is one of my favorite people on the planet. And for those of you who got the email from me announcing this, surprise, surprise, getting something out in advance, you know some of this, but I'm going to go ahead and share. Well, first of all, Jewel is just a wonderful friend of mine and a colleague that I greatly honor and respect for the work that she does, for the work that she's done, and just for her presence on the planet. She and her partner, Donovan, are two of my favorite people. So she's a master teacher. She is a channel for the council, among others. She's an author of a wonderful book, which I'll let her talk about later. She's co-founder of the Power of One program, which is, again, something she'll be talking about, and executive director of the Blue Star of Hope, which is a nonprofit organization which runs a marvelous program into Thailand every year and is now starting to branch out into South Africa. And so, well, without further ado, welcome, Jewel.
Thank you, John. It's great to be here.
Absolutely. Well, I'm glad we got through the glitches. What a to
wonderful
get you
introduction.
On. What a fun time. Trying to figure out how to make the connections work. So, well.
Oh, dear. John, I don't know if you can hear me, but I can't hear you.
Okay. I can hear you, so hopefully Doug will take care of that. How about now?
I can't hear you. Isn't energy an interesting thing?
Boy, it is. It really
is. Oh, there
is.
You are.
All right, good. Good, good, good. So, anyway. there must be a lot of energy coming in today.
Right, that's just what I was going to say. Hey, while we're at it, let's just ramp it up a little bit more, shall we?
Absolutely. Absolutely. So, Well, it is such a pleasure to have you here and to get to share you with my friends out here in internet radio land. So as I begin the show, I don't know how much, if you were able to hear at all, the connections that we set up. I'm not sure when you came in or if you heard any of that, but always start off by connecting with our own energy, with the Mother Earth, with the guides and angels, and then out to the community for the program, and then out to the community of all light workers. So building that web, to me, is a really good way to start this or anything, but I like to think that that's what all of us are doing, building a web together. Even the pieces that we're not aware of that other people are doing, they're interconnecting and supporting us in what we're doing. And so anyway, I want to jump now to starting to talk about you. And where we go from there, when I do have a guest, which it's not been as frequently as I planned originally, but you're kicking things back off again for me, so thank you for that. What I like to start with is just talking a little bit of background before you consciously got to what you might now consider your spiritual path, so that we can build on that and talk about how you got here before we talk about actually where you are. So Whatever you might like to share.
Well, there are two things that just popped in when you were talking about building that interconnection of all of the light workers, and actually it's the whole entire planetary population, you know, the family of humanity. And the thing that occurred to me when you were saying that is that we all have a unique part to play, and our journey is, and the fabulous part of our journey is discovering what that unique part is. It's not always the easiest thing in the world to discover it, but no, we usually get to recognize it when we land on it. And sometimes our parts aren't, they don't seem as glamorous as somebody else's, you know, or we may judge it that way. But without every single one of those parts, this grand drama would not be unfolding in the way that it is. And so the importance of reaching out like you did at the beginning of the program, to me that is so key, because we send out that all that energy, all that respect and honor and gratitude for not only everybody out there, but the part that they're playing. So absolutely. I just had to say that because that was really cool that you did that.
Well, thanks.
Yeah?
I'm not in charge here. I do what I'm told.
Yeah, right. I know. Right. That's all we do, is we discover our unique part to play, right? It's like we're just doing what we're told. Well, you ask, like, what was the beginning? One thing I've noticed with most of the light workers this lifetime, not just these days, but this lifetime, so many of the light workers came in with real, real challenging birth stories or challenging homes, challenging families, challenging circumstances in one way or another at the beginning of life or at the beginning of young adulthood. And right. And I was no exception to that. I had a lot of family problems, a lot of issues. There was a lot of abuse and just so many, many things that had to be overcome. And what I realized, of course, once we got going on the path a little bit, that those experiences are precisely the thing that not only culminate all the previous lifetimes and bring us to this one, and this one, which is a lifetime of hopefully freedom and liberation for most souls, but it also is precisely the thing that drives us home to spirit, drives us back to what you were talking about, finding the mastery within. Because in doing that, you rise beyond the circumstances of your life and realize that you are the co-creator of your life. And so I had to do that, like so many of us out there have. I didn't have anything easy. So many of us have experienced,
ding, ding,
and
ding,
and had to find my way, And like I said, that was precisely, that was the grist for the mill. That was the stuff that drove me to understand what's going on. Who am I in this thing called life? What do I choose? What do I want? This can't be all there is. I remember thinking that so many times when I was growing up, like, are you kidding me? This is my family? I wouldn't have chosen this.
Do I really belong here?
Yeah, right. So the process of awakening and then discovering, you know, discovering some of the gifts along the way. I was a school principal. Well, first I was a teacher, and then I was a school principal. And then making really good use out of that opportunity as a school principal, stumbling onto craniosacral work and being one of the first people to ever learn craniosacral in the 70s, and getting that in the classroom and, or with the occupational therapist and the physical therapist, and finding out, oh my gosh, you know, we're all healers. What about that? And so it's the process of discovering the healer in you, discovering the inspiration in you, the teacher in you, and I haven't been any exception to that. Every step along the way has been learning, growth, expansion, and a little bit more waking up until you finally hit that place where you feel like, oh, I think I've come home. You know, I think I've arrived. And just when you think you've arrived and it all falls apart, and you keep going again. That's kind of been my journey.
I don't know anything about that.
Right. So in a nutshell, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, so craniosacral was really the door opener for you.
Craniosacral, I as I said, I had, when I was a child, I grew up in an Amish family, and my grandmother was always laying her hands on people. Mm-hmm. And I didn't quite know what that was all about. I was a child and didn't think too much about it until I took craniosacral, or I took a class with, it was at the university even, and it wasn't even called craniosacral at that time. He was still formulating what it was going to be called.
Right.
But what happened in the class was Dr. Upledger got us tuned in to that divine life force that is all of life. And once I got tuned in, boy, let me tell you, the little cells in my body were just going pop, 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 because suddenly everything was making sense. And suddenly everything was a part of that oneness, a part of that infinite, a part of the divine life force. And once I discovered that, wow, it was like there was no stopping. And then I realized one day my father was having some problems with his physical body, and it was just such an automatic reaction, and I just asked him if he would like me to help him with his pain, and he kind of looked at me a little bit funny. A bunch of relatives were there, and honestly, I just wasn't even thinking. It just was sort of a spontaneous reaction, and I put my hands on him and started working with them, and my grandmother was sitting there, and she said, oh, honey, can you heal with your hands, too? And then that was the beginning of realizing, and I was really quite young, and realizing, oh, my goodness, what a heritage this is, and what probably it was even modeled, and I didn't even know it, you know.
Right.
So yes, it was one of those openers. But I'd have to say that there were many, many other experiences before that. For instance, I was severely abused as a child, and when some of that physical abuse would begin, what I did was I would leave my physical body, and I always said that I went to the arms of the angels, because there I was protected, there I was safe, there I was okay. Now, I figured if you could go to the arms of the angels in a moment like that, you should be able to go to the arms of the angels any old time you want. And in fact, aren't the arms of the angels always around you? So, you know, when I got a little bit older, when I was just a child, to me, going to the arms of the angels was how I survived and how I stayed sane. And, of course, that was my path. I wasn't supposed to lose myself to abuse. I wasn't supposed to be an abuser. You know, I wasn't supposed to do many things that happen as a result and have mental issues and emotional. Well, I had some emotional issues, and I guess my husband would question whether or not I had the mental issues. But do you know, so many people have, as a result of abuse, have had really, really messed up lives. Right. And mine was only moderately messed up, and the messed upness was, like I said, it was the stuff that drove me to understand. But I came in with that destiny. You know, I came in to resolve that, to understand it. And so, again, you know, like I said, if you can go home to the angels during a crisis moment, well, aren't the angels always with you? And if they are, what does that mean? And how do you tap into that? And by gosh, if that's available, along with all this other divine life force stuff, man, I'm going to use it all.
Absolutely.
So anyway, that was the beginning of the discovery of some of that mastery you were talking about.
Right. Wonderful. So let's jump forward a little bit in linear time anyway and talk about how you got from being teacher, then principal, out to being someone who does spirit work as your expression.
Yeah. It's interesting that you call it spirit work. When I did my very first paid-for session, what we would call a session now, or we would have called it a healing or whatever.
Right.
I had a file, and I thought, huh, I should probably think of this like a business. Of course, I didn't know anything about business. But I should probably think of this as a business. If somebody's going to give me some money, it's my business to be very responsible for that money. And it's their business to, you know, to pay me for the service. And if the service is there, then it has to be a business, right?
Right.
So I got out a little file, and I put down a little, you know, so-and-so, this date, paid, whatever it was. And I titled the file, Spirit Work. And I've never heard anybody ever say that until now.
Well, and I don't really usually call it that.
Very good, John.
That's just what came out.
But the funny thing is, almost 30 years later, it's the same file, the same piece of paper. I mean, I have that file, and it's still called Spirit Work, because to me that is what it is, you know, Spirit Work.
Well,
so anyway, that was funny. How did I go from principal? Well, as I learned about so many things, I began teaching meditation in my office when I was still a principal, and started using a lot of the ideals, the spiritual ideals that I was learning. I was integrating them into my life, and I didn't, my superintendent loved me, the staff loved me, so I could kind of push the envelope a little bit, and I did, and I was very fortunate. So I actually began doing a lot of the work right there in that setting. And as I said, I taught and got permission from all of the parents to do craniosacral work on the student, on the kids in the school, with the parents' permission and all that, in the occupational therapy room and physical therapy. So I got the therapists going, got the teachers going, and here they are. They're doing healing, you know, and this was in the early 80s. And so that was when it just seemed like it was a natural kind of thing. Like, if this is what I'm integrating in my own life, then certainly why wouldn't I integrate it into all aspects of my life? So that was the beginning of it. And then, of course, my husband and I are travelers and always have traveled the world and always loved the idea and dreamed of the idea of taking other people out into the world and help them discover a larger context of their life and that we're all connected, and traveling does wonderful things and meeting all the new cultures and languages and so forth. And so we left, I left my profession, we moved out of the country, and I went on a major, major discovery, and this was, again, in the early 80s, and went to a lot of different teachers and meditation groups and just all sorts of things, and kind of took a couple years to do a soul-searching kind of thing that was going on and solidifying that within myself. Mm-hmm. Then it was time to come back to the United States, and everybody would say, well, why are you going back to the United States? And out of my mouth, and you know how that happens where you open your mouth and things just come out, and you're as surprised as anybody else at what you say. Yep. Well, it was one of those moments, and somebody said, why are you going back to the United States? We were living in Costa Rica at the time, and everybody said, it's so beautiful here. Why would you leave here? You love it here. And I said, oh, no, no, we have to go back to the United States. We have to build a new world.
That's a big mission.
So we did. And then I heard myself say that, and I thought, oh, my gosh, what the heck does that mean? And now what am I getting us into, right?
Right.
So then we came back to the States, and there was no going back to my profession. There was only spirit work. There just wasn't anything else that I could do. So, I mean, I was now unemployable, mm-hmm. you know, because my heart was yearning to be a healer, to be a teacher, to turn people on, to wake people up, to just and to call forth whoever those people are. You know, I didn't have any thing on who it might be. It's like, okay, here we are. Here, this is what we do. If you want to come and play, come and play. And I can't do anything else but this.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's how that happened. And we were, it was touch and go financially those first few years.
Mm-hmm.
But we made that jump, and at some point, that's exactly how it works. You know, you surrender to that, and you know that you cannot not do what is burning inside of you. If you try to not do what is burning inside of you, the only thing that's going to happen is it's going to keep burning inside of you.
And then you're the only one who gets burned.
Exactly. So that's what happened. And then here we are.
So then, here we are. Go ahead.
Yeah. No, I was just going to say, then in the middle 80s, around 1984, somewhere in there. Oh, no, sorry. No, it was way after that. About 10 years later, actually. I had what I like to call a metaphysical metamorphosis, and had a complete and total overhaul, and actually had a walk-in experience, and I'm sure you've talked about that on your show at one point or another.
I just call it very simply,
it was a metamorphosis.
Mm-hmm.
And after that metamorphosis, I had no choice again but to really step up to my mission.
Right.
So if there was any part of me that out of fear, and we all experience that, don't we, John? It's like you get afraid to step out there. You don't know if you can do it. You have to face your issues.
Absolutely.
And as you face your issues, it can stop you. And if you can be stopped, you will be stopped. And then you have to handle it and regroup, and that was happening to some degree. And after that metamorphosis, it was like nothing could stop it. I had to step up to my mission because that burning inside of me was getting harder to handle.
Right.
So that's when I began channeling that's when it was kind of full speed ahead.
Right. And so I'll just touch it in here because you touched on it. Your book about the walk-in experience is called?
It's called The Walk-In.
There we go. And, I knew that, but I wanted it in your voice. It's a wonderful book for those of you who have not come across it or read it. And yeah. It really goes into, well, all the metamorphoses. It goes into the emotional. It goes into the mental. It goes into that urge, that inner push to move forward to do this wonderfully, I think. So if anyone out there who's looking for another title that can help them kind of ride that wave and move through those moments when we are feeling stuck or trying to figure out what is going on. It's a wonderful title to use in that way.
And something I'd like to say about that is, first of all, when I sat down to write the book, I thought I was going to be writing about the workings of the universe, right? Or some major, you know, expose on the origins of something, you know. And the last thing I thought I might be writing would be an autobiography.
Right.
And the next thing I know, that's what came out. And I wrote the book in 94 and didn't know anything at all about Ruth Montgomery, who was at that time the only other person who had really written anything, put anything to writing anyway that was accessible, was Ruth Montgomery, and I didn't know anything about her. I didn't even know anything about a walk-in until it all happened to me. I mean, I knew of it, but I didn't think it was a very good idea, and then it happened. You know? And there we go. So when I wrote the book, I wrote it, though, in honoring the fact that all of us as light workers and beings on a spiritual journey here have a process and have a metamorphosis of one kind or another.
Absolutely.
So I wrote it so that we all could find ourselves somewhere on some page. And you don't have to be a walk-in to appreciate what's there, because so many times as we go along on our path, like I said a few minutes ago, you know, we think we've arrived. We think, "Woo, there, that I'm home. I got it." And then we plateau and we integrate, and then the next thing you know, another wave comes along. And you've got to go for it, and you experience something profound and something awesome and amazing in consciousness, and you just had a major shift in consciousness. And often whenever there is a major shift of consciousness that takes place, or I like to say sometimes too, you have a descension of spirit, meaning a larger aspect of who you are, as a result of growth and expansion and learning and experience, just descends upon you and comes to live inside of you. Shoot, that feels like there's somebody different in there. And it's real similar to what it feels like to have a walk-in experience. As far as the energy is concerned, it isn't that, but it can play out that way and it can seem like that. So the book is helpful for anybody who's had any kind of spiritual metamorphosis, and I hope it definitely describes the walk-in experience.
Well, it definitely does. And I would also add this, in light of what you just said and the bigger picture, is that it's not just if you've had it. It's also useful for the metamorphosis that is still to come.
Oh, and boy, isn't that the truth. Right. Oh, yes. One of the things that people are always commenting about is my husband, Donovan, when this did happen, what did he do? Because there were two major relationships in my life, one being my daughter, who was 19, and my husband. And normally, as you know, John, with walk-ins, you know, this is a totally different spirit now. This is a totally different being who's in the physical body. So who you married is not the one who's present. And so often those relationships do not sustain.
Right.
And in my case, it was very different in that all of the major relationships in my life did sustain. Mm-hmm. And when asked, well, like, why? You know, why is that? Well, first off, I just think things need to be easy. I don't think they should be really difficult. So I kind of programmed that into our experience. But then the other thing is that Donovan is really good with change. Mm-hmm. And he can turn on a dime. And our daughter could do the same, not quite so much as Donovan. She had to, you know, kind of step up a bit, of course. But he had to be spiritually fluid and spiritually flexible. And if there has ever been a time, no matter how long we've been here in this lifetime or any other lifetime, where we need to be spiritually fluid, spiritually flexible, it is now.
Right. Absolutely.
Because, oh my goodness, it's just getting more and more.
Right. Oh, you thought that was a high amperage. Let's turn it up a little more.
Right.
Oh, we did that yesterday. Right. How about some more today? Okay.
Yeah, right. Exactly. Exactly. That's how it goes. And it just, you know, it downloads like moment to moment. Whereas right. It used to take, you know, if you think about it, in the old days, the real, real old days, a master or a saint or whatever you want to call them would embody, walk the earth plane to learn one thing. You know, maybe they came here for an entire lifetime, and some of those masters I'm talking about are also all of us, you know, but...
Right.
A master would come learn one thing, maybe something about compassion or something about wisdom, and spend an entire lifetime honing in, dipping into that slice of life to understand one aspect, attitude, attribute of the divine. We have come in not only to remember all of those aspects and attributes, live them, master them, and express all of them all in one lifetime.
Yeah.
And if you think about that, no wonder the downloads happen on a moment-to-moment basis. You know?
Oh, absolutely.
Wow.
Well,
wow.
Some of the channeling over the last few years has just been jaw-dropping when you sit and think about it. You know, I don't know how many times I've had people ask questions about why it's so difficult and that sort of thing, and the answer will come back, well, it's because that same kind of thing, you know, used to be you'd spend an entire life focused and you'd move this little bit. And in this lifetime, you're doing a whole lifetime's worth of growth, learning, awakening in a matter of a year or a couple of years. And so it's no surprise that we're all out of breath.
Yeah. Well, and we also feel like, I don't know about, I'm sure a lot of the listeners have this very same experience, but time right now, just good old wholesome time, is, oh my goodness, what an interesting concept. And, I mean, you know, time is nothing like what we used to know of time being. And if you think about how aware, because all of this compression of experience and compression of actualizing all of those experiences, learning and integrating it, making it be a part of you, it has made us super, super conscious, super awake, super aware, super, super sensitive, tuned to everything. And so in a given moment, we're seeing the past, present, future. We're seeing the infinite, the finite. We're seeing every aspect of every dimension, like simultaneously happening in every single moment. And then we wonder about time. You know, like, why do I feel kind of wigged out on time?
Yeah, why do I just want to sing the Rolling Stones song? Time is on my side. Yes,
that's
it is.
It. You just have to remember that, right?
Need to reclaim that because it gets lost in there somewhere.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Oh, somebody said to me the other day that she saw a watch or something, and I can't remember what the context was, but somebody says, well, that they had a watch, and it said, always, perpetually, it said what the time was. What time is it now?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah, that's the way we need to frame it.
Interesting times we're in.
Yes, indeed. So let's talk about some of, well, the programs, the program of Power of One program and the Blue Star of Hope and what that's about, because those are marvelous tools for connection, like where we started talking, and for expansion and travel and empowerment that you're putting forth out in the world. So please share a little bit of that, whatever you'd like to share about that.
Okay. Quite a while ago, my husband and I began doing spiritual pilgrimages with adults to sacred sites around the world, and we still do them. In fact, we have one coming up a year from now, next May. We're taking a pilgrimage to Turkey. So it's an ongoing thing. About every 2 years or so, we will do a pilgrimage out into the world somewhere, sacred sites, and just really soak it up and have an awesome experience and grow. And we always felt, we held a dream that somehow we could do this with youth.
Mm-hmm.
Because when we think about our world and we think about what's happening and we think about the future and who's going to, you know, who are we handing it all to? Of course, it's a no-brainer. We're handing it to our youth and our children, not just children, but teens and young adults. Oh, my goodness sakes, what they are coming in with now and how to help keep them awake,
right,
and on purpose and vibrant with what they're coming in with. And so we always thought about taking them out into the world also, but we didn't quite have the context yet. We weren't too sure what it was going to be. It took us 20 years, if you can believe it, of holding that vision until the moment was right, until everything just was right. And one day we just sort of woke up and said, oh my goodness, here it is. The time is now.
Mm-hmm.
So Blue Star of Hope is the umbrella organization. It is a nonprofit organization. And one of our premier programs is the Power of One program, fostering the idea that one person can make a difference in the world. And the program is directed to youth from all over the world, but also mentors. We have to have our elders. We have to have our and we call them mentors because they come with gifts and skills and talents, and without them, we wouldn't be able to do what we do with our youth. Then there is another thing, and that is you hit a place in your spiritual journey and your spiritual growth where you totally understand for you to take your next step, it's going to be one through service.
Right.
And, of course, if you take a deep breath and you are consciously awake and you are conscientious, present, and you take that deep breath like you just did at the beginning of this program, that's a service. That's a service. You just sent that divine presence that lives and moves through you and through your mastery out into the world. That's true. It is a service. So pretty soon you discover that just about anything you are, do, be, or think is of service. And then there is this thing about really wanting to be of service. So we started a volunteer program, and the volunteer program is the Power of One program. So it is for youth and adults, and what we do is we give global service to various sites in Thailand and now in South Africa. So the volunteer work, the service, becomes the platform for the discovery of each other, the Power of One group, in order, and students come from all over the world. We had 7 countries represented in the program 2 years ago, 5 countries represented last year. And we have to transcend language, transcend culture, and meet each other heart to heart, soul to soul, and we find out just how much we have in common. And not only do we have so much in common, but we're here for the same purpose.
Right.
And then we volunteer. So in Thailand, we have 5 volunteer sites, and we'll have anywhere from 50 to 65 people in our group. So it's a good size group for breaking into smaller groups and doing lots of volunteer work.
Mm-hmm.
And we volunteer at a model elephant sanctuary, and we're hands-on with the elephants. That's one of our volunteer sites for 8 days in Thailand, which is awesome.
Mm-hmm.
We
Beautiful.
Have 15 Thai students and teachers who come on the program. So they teach us and give us a total immersion in the Thai culture. And 95% of the Thais are Thai Buddhist. So we learn about Thai Buddhism. We learn how to pay respect to Lord Buddha in the temples and just all sorts of things. We learn classical Thai dancing. Oh, my goodness, it goes on and on. We live about 50 lifetimes in one day when we're on the program.
Right.
And then, of course, we have students from South Africa from an orphanage, an AIDS orphanage, who come to the Thailand program. And vice versa, Thais that will be going to the African program. So the Africans teach us about what's happening in their world, what's happening in their country, what some of their culture is. So it's so multicultural, so multi-everything, and I'd have to say multi-dimensional.
Oh, absolutely.
Because, I mean, the ideals that you love, John, and we love, and all the people who are listening, we find ways to bring that in. You know, we have a curriculum, and one part of our curriculum is, what are your dreams? And mind you, our Thai students who come, we have to raise money. We sponsor them to be able to come on this program because they come from poor rural villages. They would never be able to have the money to come to a program like this, and they've never even seen their own elephants. They've never gone to the northern part of their own country to experience the mountainous beauty of northern Thailand.
Right.
So anyway, they come on the program, and when we started and we said, what are your dreams, they didn't dare to dream. They didn't even know what we were talking about. What
right.
are your dreams for your family? What are your dreams for yourself? And then what are your dreams for your world? And so we do this whole thing on dreams. Well, that stimulates them to remember.
Right.
And really to remember within themselves who they are. And some of the conversations, what comes out of our kids. Oh, my gosh. I'm telling you, doing this program every year has made it possible and I'm just going to say it. It really isn't quite the way it sounds, but I'm going to say it anyway. But it gives you so much hope, and you see we are really getting somewhere, and it makes it possible for me to stick around another year. When I listen to those kids and I hear, we get the best of them, of course. This is what their parents always tell me.
Sure.
But what comes out of their mouths, you know, how they see the family of humanity and the context of their life just got so much bigger. And that's not just for the kids. That's also for the adults. The same thing
Absolutely.
Happens for the mentors. So we've got, and then we go down to the schools and we practice English with 200 kids at one of our participating Thais at one of their schools. And then we're redoing a school on the border with Burma. It's 40% Burmese refugees, and we're redoing their school. We take school supplies and medical supplies to Hill Tribe Village. We've got 4 or 5 different sites in Thailand that we do. And then we're getting ready, as you said a few minutes ago, John, we're starting first time out of the gate, Power of One, Bacibello, which is the name of an AIDS orphanage in South Africa. We're doing that in about 6 weeks. So that's what we're doing.
Fantastic. Well, thank you from all of humanity for all that you're doing. It's got a lot of power. It's power of one multiplied by many. So
it is, and that's exactly what I always say. It's like – it's the power of one, but my power of one and making a difference meets up with your power of one making a difference, and then it becomes the power of everyone. Yeah. And it is the power of the oneness.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So, well, thank you for sharing all of that. That's it's a wonderful cause. I don't know that I know any of the youth that have gone, but I definitely know some of the adults, and it has changed them for sure to go with you on the trip. Some of them many, many times.
Right.
Which says something right there, if they're willing to go back.
That's true.
So. Well,
I don't know what I'd do without them.
Absolutely. we all need the support around us in every way. So none of us do this by ourselves. No matter who seems to be out in front, it's always a collective getting things done. So, and that's just a beautiful example of it as far as I'm concerned. So hopefully some of the people out there who were listening will feel called to join you or support the organization, et cetera. Let me just put this out here now before we head off into channeling and getting near to the end of our time. Well, first of all, obviously the program is there. You touched upon the pilgrimage. You also are doing the private sessions, I presume, still?
Yes. Oh, my goodness.
Okay.
Yes.
All right.
We do private telephone sessions. And, we wear quite a few hats.
Absolutely.
But, yes, we do private telephone sessions. We also, believe it or not, as you probably do, you believe everything, we still travel and do workshops and seminars. And yeah.
Yes. Yeah. My favorite nomads.
Yes.
So if anyone out there listening live or who listens to the recording would feel called to contact you to find any more about these sorts of things, the Power of One, the Blue Star of Hope, the private sessions, the pilgrimage to Turkey, when you might be showing up in their neighborhood, you do have the True Earth Star newsletter still, correct? Yes.
Yes, we do. We do have that. I would give a couple other email addresses, though, and a website.
Sure, absolutely.
So, should I do that now?
This would be perfect time.
Okay. The website for the Power of One programs and all the volunteer program, it's bluestarofhope.org, all spelled out, www.bluestarofhope.org.
Great.
And private sessions, telephone sessions, where we're going to be, what we're going to be. If somebody contacts me at this email address, I would automatically put them on the newsletter if they wanted to. We do a free newsletter, too. It would be lightstarmission@yahoo.com.
Beautiful.
All spelled out. LIGHT. STAR, Mission, MISSION, lightstarmission@yahoo.com.
And if you didn't get that down, you can always contact me. I have their contact information. So,
okay. Good.
Wonderful. All right. Anything else you would like to toss in here? Anything else that's bouncing around, spirits going, hey, say this.
Well, there's not really. I think we've done a real good, quick overview of everything. But I just did want to say that you can't stress enough what each person is really doing out there. And we don't always get to recognize one another's beingness, you know. We have people who... I just had lunch with some old friends the other day, and a couple of them were saying, I just don't feel like doing anything anymore. I'm kicking back, and I'm into being. And, you know, we know a whole lot of people who are supposed to be in the being part right now. And it's not because of age. it's not because of any of those things. It's because that's what you're supposed to do. Just be. And just because you're not out there, you know, real active or doing whatever, your service is just as magnificent. And without the being and the radiation, the radiant energy that you are, you know, those of us who have the job of the doing wouldn't be able to do what we're doing. So I just want to acknowledge all the human beings who are out there, and also it's not because of an age or retirement. It's because it's just this stage or phase of a job well done. You know, it's like, okay, many first waivers are needing to be quiet, kick back, and just be the radiance. And it was well deserved, well earned, and it's just that time. And for some reason, I just had the urge to say that. Then there also is those who are the human doings. Thank goodness for you all out there, because as we said before, when part of the work is stepping into the awareness that wherever you go, there you are. Wherever you, whatever you do, there you be. You know, you is who you is, right? And and to be present and awake and aware and doing your best, just doing your best, giving your best at all times is of tremendous service.
Absolutely.
So, just wanted to thank everybody for doing their best. Thank the human beings for doing being. And thank the human doings for doing.
Well, and I would toss this in here, because I really agree with you about that. The one thing I would say is those who are doing the being, they're actually doing the allowing. And they're acting as the antenna, and they are grounding in a tremendous amount of energy.
Yeah.
When you talk about that radiance, they're grounding in a tremendous amount of energy. We are grounding in a tremendous amount of energy, but it's not just kicking back and doing nothing. It is receiving, and that's needed, because if they go into resistance, if we go into resistance, then the flow slows down and it gets harder for all of us. So, yes, thank you, everybody, for adding
with you and your gang,
adding more energy to the web.
Yeah,
not the internet.
Exactly.
Not the internet. The internet.
The internet.
Exactly. All right. Cool. So I'm going to go ahead and step into a little bit of channeling here. You going to stick around for that?
I am.
All right, then. So I won't say goodbye just yet. And those who listen regularly know all they have to do is do a little deep breathing while I do the toning and bring in whoever's going to grace us today. So. This is the Archangel Ariel, come to be with you today. Welcome, welcome, welcome. And we say that not just for you listening in this moment, although obviously you're the ones who are hearing us, but we offer that to you as something that we are saying to you in every single moment. Welcome to this moment. Welcome to right now. And that is such a gift for you to give to yourself. To know that no matter where you are, no matter what you're doing, no matter how you're being, no matter what you're thinking or saying or feeling, we are there greeting you and welcoming you to that experience. Now, well, we think it's a gift. You, when you're in the midst of the crap, may not think so much that it is. But the reason we say that it is a gift to remember that is because when you can allow yourself to be in that framework, to be in that energy of welcoming this moment, even as we are welcoming you into the moment, then what you're doing is letting your resistance fall away. You're taking your defenses down. Defenses, yes, the fences that you build around to try and protect yourself from the danger that might be there in that moment. Oh no. It could be bad. It could be unpleasant. It could be something I don't want. Picture the 1950s movie horror film. The posters that they use. Everyone is looking up screaming at the monster. That's not how you want to be. You want to welcome the moment. You want to welcome the moment. And so let us welcome you, and that will help you open that door. And then you realize as you're looking up that what you thought was the monster has a bouquet of flowers to give you, or some hot chocolate, or is teaching you a new dance. If only you will allow yourself to welcome the experience. Now, remember, welcome does not mean like. You don't have to like every experience. We're not suggesting that you do. But what we are telling you, and not that you have not heard this in a thousand ways before, perhaps, but what we are telling you is that it is through welcoming the moment, whether it is pleasant or unpleasant, that you move through it. Until you welcome it, you're going to stick around. It is going to stick around. It will stick in your craw. It will get in your baggage. It will get in your back or wherever you might have those little nudgy places where your tension builds up and there is pain and there is discomfort. It is just you reminding yourself that there are things that you did not welcome. Welcome them, and then say thank you. And by all means, say thank you as they're walking out the door. Thank you for coming. Thank you for going. It is not always easy, but it is that simple. What you can welcome, you can also well send. You welcome, it comes to you. You well send, it goes away. Sayonara. Or be gone. Depends on how much you dislike it. But the important part is that openness and that flow. And so breathe into that right now. Just right now, take a moment and say, I choose to welcome whatever this moment has for me. And allow yourself to breathe with that. And that is always another key to opening that door. You breathe with it. A breath. Unlike how some of you think of it when they say take a breath, you take it in and then you hold it. A breath is both in and out. The welcome is the in. It's the receiving. The out is automatic, as it is with the breath, unless you are consciously holding your breath, which is what you're doing if you're not welcoming the moment. You are spiritually holding your breath around that moment. And it doesn't take long. Even those who have tremendous lung capacity, it doesn't take more than a couple of moments for holding the breath to get to be very uncomfortable. And so think about experiences, moments that you have said no to for years. Think about how uncomfortable that is. to hold that in. And so we would give you an opportunity here. We've got quite a support team scattered around out there, wherever you might be, your own team and those we've sent with you here today. As you're listening, these beings are ready to help you let go of those moments, as many of them as you are ready to let go of, as many of them as it is safe for you to let go of in this moment, to just allow yourself to take that exhalation, to do that well sending. Start with the welcoming. So come into the gratitude. Give thanks in this moment as you breathe in. Give thanks for all those previous moments that you've not quite been able to accept fully. Just breathe into that gratitude. Don't try to think about what they were. It does not matter mentally what those moments were. What matters is your intention to say thank you for them. And even thank you for all the moments in between that I've been holding on to them. Thank you for that experience of holding my spiritual breath around these moments. Breathe into that. And thank all the energies that have participated in this. And in that way, in that gratitude, you are welcoming those moments to be a part of your life. You can't stop them from being a part of your life. They are already part of it. So you might as well thank them for being there. And breathe into that gratitude even a little bit more. And now with the help of this whole team, this massive team that you each have, right now, give yourself permission to let them go, to let the ones go. Do your well sending. Thank you for coming. Thank you for going. Thank you for going now. Thank you for easing on down the road. Thank you for flowing out. Thank you for finding your own freedom so I may find mine. And breathe that flow through you. Breathe in and out deeply and gracefully. Just allowing this to unfold, allowing yourself to clear in this way, allowing this releasement to occur. No need to push. You're not kicking them out. You're letting them go. You're releasing them by thanking them for coming. All these moments that you have kept prisoner within you, you are unlocking their jail cells, and they will go on their own. You just need to let them. And so keep breathing with that as long as you like. And for some of you, this unfoldment may take, this releasement process that we have begun here, it may unfold for the next day, 24 hours or 48 hours. For some, it may even expand over a week, because you're doing this in a way that is safe for you, in a way that is perfect for you. For some of you, you may pop it all out in an hour or in the next 5 minutes. Doesn't matter. It will be right and perfect for you. So breathe into that and thank yourself for being willing to participate to whatever degree you chose. And know that you can come back and do this again if you like. When you are next ready to welcome every moment of your life, so that you may be more in this moment in your life. And know that we are always with you and always ready to serve, always ready to aid you in experiencing more of the wonder and the power and the light that you are. Much love, dear ones. Namaste. Okay. Well, thank you, Ariel. And thank you, Jewel. It has been such a pleasure to have you join us here today. Such an honor, as I said. And hopefully we will cross paths much sooner than we sometimes do.
Yes, I agree.
But it's always great to know that you're out there doing your doing and being your being. So, well, thank you as well to all of you out there who are co-creating this with us, who are creating that energy field that brought forth what was shared here today. We cannot do this without you. So thank you for that. Well, I would encourage you to send in any feedback, questions, comments, suggestions for future guests. I will be getting back into the framework where about once a month I will be bringing in another wonderful being to join us here and give some other perspective on walking this path of self-discovery, self-mastery, and self-exposure. And, I will be back same time. Yes, bring in those chimes, Doug. Perfect. I'll be back same time, same place next week. I hope you'll join me. You never know where this show will go, and you never know where you're going to go until you get there. So I hope you have a wonderful, wonderful week. Namaste, my friends.